Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, June 17, 2022. You know, look, a lot of the headlines, I get the headlines are coming fast and furious. I get the events are taking place fast and furious. We need to address all of those, of course, in due time. Sometimes, though, when you chase after headlines, you miss the bigger picture of things. Yesterday, of course, Steve Quayle was on this show. You may have watched it. You may have listened to it. Went over the big picture, and of course, the big picture is quite dire. And we spoke yesterday about the 3,000 head of cattle in Kansas that mysteriously died. And I say mysterious only to those who refuse to pay attention to really what's happening. We also discussed, touched upon the famine that's coming, and this is an engineered famine. All of this combined, let's look at the bigger picture. But I want to bookend this week, despite everything that we could be speaking of, I'm going to bookend this week by kind of going back to what I started with on Monday. Because when it's all said and done, when the truth is known, and I believe the truth will be known, about what is taking place, the truth behind the headlines, as we spoke yesterday of agricide and of genocide, Naomi Wolf writing about genocide. If you go to HagmanReport.com, it's a big headline on the right. She gets into this genocide through injecticide. Folks, I started out this week by saying that forgiveness is for the next generation. And of course, I cited from an article from Sundance written at the website Conservative Treehouse. The link is in the program description box for that day, for Monday, to that article. And I mean this, when you go through and you see everything that is taking place in this country and across the world, and then you see the people who facilitate all of this, my response is the same as the writer Sundance at Conservative Treehouse. Sorry, forgiveness is for the next generation. And again, I'm citing from the article now, as I did Monday. But I want to reinforce this. We need to destroy those who carried out this abuse. And by this abuse, now I'm speaking from me now. By this abuse, I am referring to everything present tense back decades. Because they're all the same players or of the same lineage, if you would like that. Getting back to what I said on Monday, citing that article, you know, our parents were forced, talking about the release of the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon. Our parents were forced to die alone in isolation while we were forbidden from holding their hand or being with them. Thousands never had the opportunity to say goodbye. We know exactly what the covenant of marriage is all about and had nothing to do with being forced to stand outside hospitals screaming in unbearable, choking anguish while our wives and husbands took their last breaths alone. You want forgiveness for that? F you. I don't even remotely possess that capacity. You know, as I sit here behind the microphone, and it's a very comfortable place to be behind the microphone, right? Because it doesn't require action. I'm telling you right now, it is going to require action. We, as the targets of this abuse, this democide, this agricide, this whatever side you want to call it, homicide wholesale, needs to be addressed. And I know that if you listen to Monday's show and if you listen to this week's show, I know that this is almost sounding redundant, but I'm telling you right now, from the bottom of my heart, I have to say that we, at this point, have nothing in common with the evildoers who are pushing down our throats this agenda of death and destruction and misery and hatred. Those people who are coming after our weapons to disarm us through red flag gun laws and other means, we have nothing in common with them, not even dialogue. And when you lose that dialogue, talking's over. Writes, again, I'm going back to the article I referenced on Monday and again referencing as a bookend today. I refuse to give any, quote, coming to the right side, end quote, credit to the vile, intolerant, hate-filled, and insane leftists who demanded all of the totalitarian bullcrap they now accept as futile nonsense. Whoops, you know, kind of like, whoops, we just erred on the side of caution. No, you knew exactly what you were doing. I don't care who is now apologizing. I don't care either. They should be shunned. They should be mocked and cast into the pit of irrelevance. And we see this now, and this is me speaking and citing this article again. You take a look at those people, lawmakers, who are what? Who are attempting to play both sides against the middle, or attempting to appear to compromise. Well, you know what? We don't want, for example, we don't want gun control, but we're in favor of sensible measures for the safety of our citizens. What a load of crap that is. Those are the same people selling you out, me out. The high-minded reach across the aisle crew continue bleeding philosophically about how many we must grow our ranks by accepting the newly found recalcitrance of those who have carried out this nonsense. However, the constant granting of benefit to those who abuse us is the epitome of battered conservative syndrome, and there it is. The professional political left, I call them communists, would like nothing more than their victims to be comfortable giving or forgiving them for openly hostile attacks. And you can see this, of course, when you look at the newscasters, when you look at the some of the politicians. I won't name any, but you know who they are. Actions do have consequences. We are not fast to the sentiment of hate. We know the damage. We know the damage that sensibility. We know the damage that sensibility can create within oneself. Okay, the emotion of hatred. However, reluctantly, and again citing from the article, decisions are reached. And he continues: those who perpetuated these 2 years of hell need to be held to account. And unfortunately, this type of accountability, and this is my favorite part, is so severe in consequence, there can be no quarter provided or terms which might provide even the most remote possibility of a reoccurrence. And that's, here's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Because given the opportunity for them to do it again, and let's use the COVID-19 in dreaded air quotes scenario, they'll do it again. Given that template, they'll do it again. with something else. They are doing it again. And we must, it's our job right now to say no. Even today, when you have medical facilities demanding that you wear a face covering, a mask, or a cloth face covering, as if that makes sense. Even today, if you comply with that, folks, let me tell you something. If you comply with that, you're an idiot. And yes, I just did call you the compliant to that an idiot. It's uncomfortable to accept that a response needs to be of such severity for this kind of abuse that our children will be witness to a visible anger they did not know their parents were capable of. But witness they must if we are to ensure these vile and intolerant leftist creatures are destroyed forever. And by leftist, globalist, whatever you want to call them, they must be destroyed. And you can read the entire article. The link is in the program description box for Monday's show at HagmanReport.com. And the reason I want to open up with that is because if you think for one moment that what is taking place in Washington or in your state capital or even at your county seat is salvageable given the agenda that they are adherent to, then you're sadly mistaken. I'm going to show this video. This is a video. This stems from the January 6th show trials, the Stalin-esque show trials. Or is it a video? Yeah, it is a video. Or it's just audio? Okay. It's an audio with video overlay. But nonetheless, I want to show this. I don't know, how long is it, Eric the Tech? It's about 90 seconds. I did want to show this because this is what we're dealing with, both in terms of the lies and the impact from the lies that we are going to have to deal with. I hope I made myself clear. In other words, we're going to have to deal with both the lie and the consequences of those lies. But this is one example. But it's a relatively current one. It happened within the last few days. But listen and take heed. And I've got some more comments on the other side. Here it is.
I hope you get dragged in front of a military tribunal. I hope you get a Marine firing squad. It's too good for you. That'd be too good for you, you. I hope you die a billion mother deaths in hell, you pig mother.
Obviously, I think I like the 9/11 attackers better than I like you, you traitor. Because I want to see you with a shank and twisted shank in your throat. Okay? You fucking traitor mother.
Oh, and the who answers your phone? You deserve to be beaten just like Gaddafi was. You deserve to be dragged out onto the street and beaten until you're a bloody mess.
You are a fucking traitor and should put a 45 in your mouth and pull the trigger and blow your treasonous brains out, you son of a.
I think he's a traitor. He better beef up his security.
Piece of garbage. You, family, and my boot when they scumbag. But my boot will be up when you're no longer protected by whatever the protects a piece of like you, scumbag. If I don't get you, I'll get your friends and let them know I'm on my way to you, you piece of subhuman.
All right. To those listening out there, and to even some of those of you who are watching, Well, if you're watching, you know the answer to this, but what was that, aside from a bunch of profane threats against one individual? That was based on a statement made, or an allegation made by the seven members, well, by one, I should say, but as a consequence of the January 6th committee against a House member, Loudermilk, who gave a tour of not even the Capitol, but of an executive office building the day before the January 6th events. The Marjorie Taylor Greene had also commented on this and retweeted this, that particular message out. The reason, again, I wanted to play this is what people, I don't think people really understand what is really taking place behind the scenes. The January 6th committee, in this case, again, this is one lie and the consequences of one lie. This is what is taking place in this country today. Now, magnify that multiple times, and you see where we're at. Can you see why I say that forgiveness is for the next generation? Why I echo that sentiment? Can you see why I say, and I echo the sentiment from CTH, Sundance, that we need to destroy those who carried out this abuse? Can you see now why I say that there is really no meeting of the minds possible when you have this level of vitriol, or when you cause this level of vitriol? That's just one lie. And one might say, well, wait a second. You know, I saw on Twitter, on Facebook, this tour and this guy standing, taking a picture of a stairwell. And, you know, upon that, I base my assertion that this Loudermilk was actually giving pre-invasion instructions or pre-insurrection. Okay, you've got to be a moron. All right, you really have to, or you really have to be gullible. Maybe that's a better word. You have to be naive and gullible. But this is where we're at. This is the level of hatred that exists. And this is the level of stagecraft that we're seeing from our group of lawmakers, sadly. Yes, some represent you, the seven individuals that comprise the January 6th committee. And they hired, of course, a PR kind of guy, person, company, entity, to make sure their message got out as effectively as possible. But they sit up there, the January 6th committee, and they show tweets edited behind them and to the American public, and they show other pictures, some footage, cut off, edited, to enrage the public and to pit one side against the other. And it's working, sadly. So how do you deal with that? A person that is absolutely convinced, and I've run into these people myself, how do you deal with that? If you've got somebody who's absolutely convinced that you are the enemy, that you are a traitor, a scumbag, and that you need to be hung and strung up, how do you deal with that threat? Let's go to something else here that really is part of the bigger picture, because this is part of the what I believe to be the planned destruction, deconstruction, and then ultimate destruction of our country. How do you deal with the individuals who have knowingly pushed the injecticide upon the American public, especially in light of the information we have now? And how do you deal with the people who continue to do so, especially with the information we have now, and even some of the evidence. However, some of it might and admittedly is anecdotal in nature, but how much anecdotal evidence do you need for that to become circumstantial evidence? And remember, it's very difficult to manufacture circumstantial evidence. And when I speak about circumstantial evidence, I speak not of just one issue. I speak of many. And I often use, when I speak about circumstantial evidence, I also often use the picture of a rope. You know, imagine you're a boater, and on a big boat, we'll say, and you've got these throw lines out. If you chop that rope, what do you see when you look at that rope? You see a whole bunch of strands that comprise that rope. And those strands, each one of those strands, is a bit of circumstantial evidence. And it just doesn't take one strand, but you've got multiple strands, and that increases what the strength of that rope. We're seeing strand after strand after strand that is making this very thick and very strong rope, or in this case, case, against the individuals that I mentioned about the topics that were concerned. Whether it be the injecticide, whether it be the lie of January 6th and the consequences from that, or the lies from the committee, which is illegitimate to begin with, we're seeing this, and if we are astute, we should be able to select or pick out the lies and to use them as one fibrous string of to comprise the rope. And that rope, of course, is the evidence that is laid out before us. Then you take, for example, the fact that we are being subjected to, and we are supposed to believe that multiple, and I mean multiple, fires at food processing plants, oddities that happen, are just absolutely, they're just coincidental, that they're unrelated to anything that's taking place. And we, as we talked yesterday, the death of 3,000 head of cattle, attributed to things, whether it's a bovine respiratory illness or a lack of water, or my favorite, the heat, right? We're supposed to look at that and accept the explanations for that. Haven't we not accepted the explanations of everything from the release of the bioweapon to the explanations to the adverse side effect or the lack thereof from the injecticide, all the way back to, as I mentioned yesterday with Steve, the magic bullet theory from the Kennedy assassination? Yeah, that pristine bullet that went through two people, caused 7 wounds, and ended up on a stretcher undamaged. Yet that's exactly what we are led to believe. That's nothing to see here. The fact that you know, Justin Bieber, of course, having the facial paralysis, Ramsey Hunt syndrome, subsequent to, you know, following the jabs, and his wife, of course, before that, having a microclot and essentially, I believe it was a hemorrhagic or perhaps it was a blockage clot causing a stroke. We're supposed to believe that just to be, well, that's just coincidental. Okay, I can accept that if that was the only one. But then you have more. But even worse than that, you've got medical professionals who are supposed to be treating you signing on to accept the fact that, well, or signing on to becoming the tools of the globalist agenda. So I ask this. Is forgiveness... what are we to do? And I ask that genuinely here as we approach the final hours of this week. What are we to do? Are we to accept, just merely accept the fact that, oh, you're sorry? Okay. That's okay. Or are we to dispense the requisite justice, hopefully through legal means? Because otherwise, we would be like the left. The left, of course, don't forget the assassination attempt. And yes, I realize exactly what I'm saying with that. Of Justice Kavanaugh, when they caught that man from California outside of Kavanaugh's home, deterred only by the presence of U.S. Marshals. And he was bound and determined to kill Kavanaugh for what? For the draft decision of Roe v. Wade, the draft decision that was leaked. And of course, have we seen anyone, or have we seen any investigation results from that leak? Who is responsible? And if whoever was responsible, to what end? Where's the justice there? There is none. The left, the globalists, are endangering us, our lives. The fact that we have the Supreme Court, they have to worry about their security. That's not, first of all, and the fact that we look the other, when I say we, they look the other way, the police and such, when you've got protests in front of their homes that endanger their lives. That's illegal, by the way, illegal to do that. Where is the justice? Do you expect to see justice? Are we expecting to see a Department of Justice meeting out justice? I would say that if we are, then you know what? I don't know what to tell you except grab onto that hopium pipe and inhale deeply, because it's not coming. But what will come from the Department of Justice very quickly and swiftly is a response to any kind of threat based on red flag gun laws. And that, to me, is one very sure way of disarming, legally, ostensibly legally, right? Disarming a legally armed citizen. It's unconstitutional. Red flag gun laws are unconstitutional, period. You can just put a period right after that and stop. And what about, I mentioned famine. What about the diesel prices, the gas prices? What about the farmers? I showed a video yesterday, and I'm going to end with this video. Because sometimes people can only focus on just one thing, not a whole bunch of things. And I get that. I understand that. Right, folks, are you familiar with the acronym ESG? Environmental, social, governmental. You've got groups of corporations who are acquiescing to this ESG policy. And I'm not going to get into it now, but what is happening is through their acquiescence, through their signing on to this ESG policy, which is really implemented by the UN and WHO and the United Nations and sub parts of the UN, globalist entities. The result because of the Biden regime and members of the Biden regime, including, oh, by the way, Susan Rice. I should mention Susan Rice is the point person on the gun, red flag gun laws and the gun control, in quotation mark, agenda. So Susan Rice is part of that. But what we're seeing here is this acquiescence to this ESG agenda. And to best sum up what we're going to be seeing in the months ahead and by the fall is this one video. It's a minute 30. I'm going to kind of wrap it up with this. If you can't, let's say you can't agree or can't grasp the injecticide, the bioweapon that is SARS-CoV-2, the coming bioweapons, or the J6, let's say you're not really sure about the whatever, then maybe this you can grab onto. And when you're hungry, and when you're looking for food or water, and when the store shelves are empty this fall, think about this. And then, of course, ask yourselves, was Doug right to say, and was Sundance right to pen, forgiveness is for the next generation? We need to destroy those who carried out this abuse, and includes this. Watch this video. Here it is. I did not give Eric the Tech the heads up. This would be the video 2, I believe, from the show prep I sent. It might have been from yesterday. Let me see here. Talk amongst yourselves, folks. Hang on a second while Eric the Tech and I get this. This would be under the Yes. Here it is. Oh, he's got to get it. And by the way, I've been getting a lot of emails about this too. And I just want to say this. Ted Nugent came out on the 1st of June. How many days ago now? 16 days ago. And wrote this. Hey, Joe Biden, you soulless, evil, tyrannical dictator son of a bitch. I'm quoting the tweet now. How dare you implement the same gun laws as China, North Korea, and Mexico? You possess no such authority. No man possesses such authority. You have violated your constitutional oath again. Somebody arrest this guy. Now, again, think about that, because he's right. But think about that and think about the bipartisan action to enforce the red flag gun laws. How's that for just kind of stretching out until we got our act together? Okay, watch this video.
Hey guys, so while sitting at my son's baseball game today, I got talking to another farmer and I asked him, I was like, hey, what are you seeing on your side of things? Like, I've talked to everyone like nearest to me, but what are you seeing? And he said, you know what? We called to try and get diesel for this fall to lock in a price and they're not even letting us. There is zero way for them to get a tank to lock in a price so they're not hit as hard this fall. They told them absolutely not, because they're anticipating diesel prices being $9.50 up towards to $10 to $10.50 by this fall. That alone, guys, to fill the tractors and the equipment needed to get the product out of the field is going to be astronomically bad all the way around. So understand, people are like, oh, plan ahead. We're trying. They're not letting us.
There it is. So when you're hungry, when you're faced with no food, food shortages, remember that video. You see, we know who's doing this. We know who they are. We know why they're doing it. We don't need to stand around discussing it. We've watched our borders being intentionally unsecured. We've watched the slaughter of Americans as our politicians proclaim the uncertainty of their motives, the perpetrators' motives in numerous cases, when they know exactly what their motives are. We notice the liars. Now this, I'm going back to the article very quickly. Even from a great distance, seemingly invisible to the mob, we still hold open the door for the riot goer, mannerly. It's got to stop, folks. It's got to stop. The professional political left, the globalists, they must be destroyed with everything we got, because there's no talking. All right. Again, citing from Conservatory House article, bookending Monday to today, Friday, the 17th day of June, 2022. With me is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. You know, we're not good to anyone if we're not feeling good. If we don't take care of our bodies, who's going to take care of our bodies for us? You think your doctor is? I don't think so. So here's the deal. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. If you're watching this, look on your screen. And a really neat thing, if you're watching this on your screen, if you're looking at this, the blue segment there also is the location for the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's an hour-long show every day, Monday through Friday, and once on Sunday. And I got to tell you something. That's an hour-long informational download. They do a great job with getting you the information of the day. That's the Ted and Austin Brower Show. And I would recommend you bookmarking this page, if for nothing else, just for that. But also for the terrific products, including, oh my goodness, the Ultimate Multiple, the Vitamin C, the Immunity Package, the Purple Sticks. They've got it all. So go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. I believe HR5 coupon code is still in working order for non-saleable items. And for extra credit, you can even get a distiller, because you know what? You might, as Steve said yesterday, you might have to drink the water in which you walked. So how best to filter that and just to distill it as well. And they've got great distillers. They've got great other equipment and other storable foods too. Organic nonetheless. That's healthmasters.com. Austin Brower, thanks for holding on with me through that segment. How you doing, brother?
Oh, doing good, my friend. And, you know, it's interesting. I saw that beginning video you put up. The girl's talking about talking to a lot of the farmers. And we have an organic farmer down the road. I was talking about on our show earlier this week, Steve, our main sales guy, he stops by there on a pretty much a weekly basis to support the guy, get some food from him. We all go over there occasionally. And Steve talked to him the other day, and he said, you know, because obviously the food price has been going up. Even the stuff he has, you know, it's kind of straight from farm to market right there. So he tries to take care of us. And Steve asked him the other day, and basically was like, dude, what do you think is going to start happening with these prices? And he pretty much told Steve straight up, because this is literally just the beginning phase of the food that you're seeing. He said, the entire agricultural community operates on about a year, year and a half delay from what you see on the shelves. This is exactly what I said before, because farmers put in pre-orders, like you said, she said in that article, for diesel fuel, for basically, you know, nitrogen, as far as the fertilizers, all these different things they buy that they use to grow the food with, they pre-order them. It's not like fertilizer goes up today and the food coming out of the ground goes up tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. It's always on delay. What we're seeing right now in the food market is what we got exposed to last year in the fall. Now, of course, the diesel fuel going up has made everything go up considerably faster because the transportation costs come in, the tractor costs come in. If you start seeing diesel fuel reach a point of $9, $10, $11 a gallon, it's going to be not only massively increasing the prices from the food that you see at your store because of the trucks, it's going to dramatically change it the next year. And when you start seeing the fertilizer prices go from, you know, $24 to all of a sudden $45 a bag, now they're saying next year the fertilizer prices are going to be going into the $95 range for certain bags of stuff per loads. And what's going to start happening is a lot of people are simply going to be priced out of the market when it comes to food, not vehicles, not houses. They're simply going to be priced out of the market for food. Right now, the issue that people are already running into is the fuel prices, getting back and to from work. But we really haven't seen or felt the increase in the food prices. The Republicans have to take back over and do something in the fall, even though I'm not really a Democrat or a Republican. I'm more as far as a libertarian in the middle with a lot of this stuff. But they have to do something dramatically, drastically, or else what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing people, like you said, they're not going to have food. They're going to be working 40, 50 hours a week just to pay for their fuel to get back and forth to work and to try to cover their rent or expenses of that sort. That's why I kept telling people, make sure you're being proactive right now. If you want a food bucket now, or you want beans and rice at the store, you're going to store them properly, you want canned food, You know, I talked to a dealer in Orlando that I know, car dealer, car sales. We've got a big dealership over there that I've been friends with for a while. And we were talking about some stuff in the car market. He was saying how some of the vehicles, high-end stuff that's very rare, have actually still been going up because a lot of these collectors are going in now and buying some of these cars that are naturally aspirated V12s and stuff because they know that these are going to be the end of it. This will be the end of the exotic car era. Everything's going to start going EV and basically hybrid and batteries and all this other nonsense. He said, but he said a lot of the mass-produced vehicles are starting to trend down faster than how the dealers can move them because of how much money they put into them when the market was so big over the last 6 months to 12 months. And he said some of these dealers now are offloading these vehicles, the auction, just to get out of them because a lot of the mass-produced vehicles are dropping so fast because of the fuel prices. Now, of course, you got certain things you just can't get a hold of, like diesel trucks. And I told Dad yesterday, I was talking to him, and I said, isn't it funny? You know, we were talking about how GM and Ford and all the other manufacturers, nobody's been able to get diesel trucks for that. They've been 6-12 months backward. They massively cut production down. They said it's a chip part or a bolt part. And we knew it was BS because no other manufacturers, Hyundai and Toyota, don't have a chip shortage. You know, you don't see Tesla having a chip shortage. And I told him, I said, I think they got the notice that diesel was going to drive the price of everything down. He said, you're absolutely right. He said, these guys got insider options on it. And I'm sure they had a discussion last year and told them, this is what diesel fuel is going to start doing. Do not prioritize these diesel pickup trucks because, quite frankly, you're not going to be able to sell them when diesel hits $10, $12 a gallon. I'm hoping and praying we can do something about this and we actually have some individuals in the Senate that will do something instead of just sitting on their butt and complaining about it because this has to stop with this energy sector. There's no reason in this country to be having these issues whatsoever with the amount of resources and the amount of drilling and everything we've been able to do. We're sitting on mass resources, but yet they're doing it intentionally to price everyone out of the market. And so again, I've encouraged people, don't let this worry you and sit around and be fretful. Do something about it that you can actively be prepared for until we can try to figure out how to get the Senate to do some change. And hopefully in November, we can get all these absolutely horrific sickos that are in office that are hardcore communists and get them booted out. Because I personally think even if they try to do election fraud in the fall, which I think a lot of different precincts are really starting to acknowledge that this was a problem 2 years ago, I think, though, that a lot of people, even Democrats, are absolutely done with the policies that have been projected and continuing to be brought out. And I think something is going to have to happen pretty soon because people are getting sick of it. And, you know, at the same time, it's ironic to me that we're seeing these states are turning around talking about, oh, we're gonna reduce the tax on gas for the next following month. Like, okay, we're going to shave it down 20, 30, 40 cents a gallon for an entire month. But they're turning around and spending tens of millions of dollars pre-ordering RNA gene therapy shots for children ages 6 months to 5 years old right now before the shot is even available for a shot that has absolutely zero necessity in society right now because that age bracket has zero chance pretty much. It's virtually zero chance from dying from COVID if they contract it, when you look at the vast majority of the population. Yet I just found out, and this is one benefit that I've been happy to hear from DeSantis in Florida, big article from Miami Herald. And of course, they love talking junk about, you know, DeSantis all the time. But here's the title of the article. Every single state in the country but Florida has already pre-ordered COVID-19 vaccines for children under five. And it goes on to say here that every state has gotten ahead of the curve to make sure that every child under the age of five is going to have access to these life-saving COVID vaccines as soon as they're approved. As soon as they're approved. So we're taking state funding, free of taxpayer money, and we're handing it to Pfizer by literally the tens of millions of dollars, saying, here's the money. We want these shots that are probably going to start killing children immediately upon injecting them. And we're pre-ordering it with taxpayer money so we can make sure that a group of children in an age bracket that have virtually zero risk from dying are going to start getting three separate shots of COVID injections as RNA gene therapy. That shows you right there how inept and how insane a lot of these individuals are that are running these states. This is why it is so important that people get really active, because this is probably going to be, if we don't change something soon, this is probably going to be one of the last elections we ever have, quite frankly, as a country. Because as we're continually seeing, I mean, we got 10 Republican senators that are going along and agreeing with what this entire red flag gun law update and this expanded background check for 18 to 20 year olds and trying to do a full federal red flag gun law update. What nobody realizes this, Doug, and you know this as well as I do, red flag gun laws are not what they sound like. You are literally handing the keys to the Second Amendment to the authority and power, law enforcement, and the judges, and expecting them not to abuse it, when they can literally go in and say, okay, we've had a phone call that somebody somewhere said that, you know, Mr. Jones has a handgun and he's a danger to himself and he's threatened somebody. We need a red flag court order to immediately go seize his firearms, and then he can come back to court and prove that he's not crazy. The very concept erodes the Second Amendment. It doesn't even go together. They're completely and totally separate. What this is going to be used for in most cases, in my opinion, if we've seen anything as an example from what Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all these social media platforms have done now with going after and censoring and blocking and banning certain people that simply say something that they don't like or simply do something on Instagram or Twitter that basically it goes along against the narrative, they immediately ban them or they just block them for months on end. I personally think this red flag gun law is going to be used as a federal excuse to go in and start sending ATF and other alphabet agencies to seize people's firearms based on a text message, based on an Instagram message, based on a Facebook post, because they already have done that now repeatedly, but it's usually handled by the state. Giving the feds the ability to start doing this on a whim, pretty much with anything they want, is literally going to be madness. And that's why it is so important. Contact our senators right now and make sure at least one of these 10 clowns that are in there do not vote for this, and we can basically filibuster this thing out, because this is not what we need, and this is not go along with the constitutional republic. The Second Amendment is very clear. Are there situations where somebody that may be deranged or mentally ill or on dope and all drugged out have a firearm and they're a hazard to society? Absolutely. There's no question about it. That situation occurs on a regular basis in the United States, across the entire states. It happens. But there are already laws in the books on being able to Baker-Act individuals and be able to arrest them if they are being a credible threat to society. Taking now the notion and saying, we don't even have to arrest them. We simply get a red flag gun law. We come up to their house. We seize their firearms. We impound them. They have to come to court and prove that they're not crazy. It goes completely against the Constitution. And so this is a really, really big deal from a federal red flag gun law standpoint. And it is absolutely not something we can allow to go through, Doug, because it will be the end of the Second Amendment and going after any dissent, any post, anybody that basically speaks up. They'll start saying, well, we've deemed by our algorithms, by our mood monitors, by our AI, artificial intelligence, by the way, that Google has now said is sentient. One of the Google analysts that actually worked on their AI program, he said their AI system that Google works on is sentient. It has a brain. It's alive. It basically has a personality. If you read the article, I talked about it earlier this week. You're giving that AI platform to start determining who's going to be a risk and start doing minority report seizures of people's firearms based on that. That's where the next step will go on this, Doug, if we allow this to keep going forward.
So, and I, well, yes, I, and I agree with that 100%. I think this, when I look, when I take a step back and I look at this, I see things being implemented in a very orderly fashion.
Yeah.
You know, and people will look at the same thing and see, for example, the implementation of these red flag laws. All right. This appears to be a consequence or as a result of recent, quote, mass shootings. So we have to have sensible gun laws. Well, no, this has been in the works. I mean, how did they come up with really 10 bills in such a short time? They've had them for a long time in different iterations. So, but this to me is a deliberate plan based on known events this is not a reaction, but this is a deliberate setup for, well, what we're seeing now. And I think disarming the American public has got to be like really far up there in terms of their agenda. Don't you think? I mean, they've got to take away our guns. They've got
That has got to be a top priority, because every other country that's under globalist banker Rothschild control in the world has pretty much been disarmed. And see, the thing about it is, because the Second Amendment is so pesky to them, it's a very difficult thing to bypass, especially when you have this amount of firearms in population. I talked about it last time. If you try to go just straight up door to door, we're going into your house and seizing everybody's weapons per state by state, you just start Civil War 2.0. That's exactly what happened. So they have to do it in a very, very methodical, slow fashion. And this is how you do it. And I talked about in the last show, you start labeling and looking through AI. You look at online social media. You look at phone calls. You look at text messages. You look at 4473 form background checks, purchases, and you start running those through a database. And you start giving the AI intelligence system the ability to pick out what it thinks is going to be the highest risk assessment per person. Then you start putting them on a list so that in any event, they can determine or show that you may have possibly done something that may be a threat, whether it be a Instagram message, whether it's a DM on Facebook, whether it's a complaint, whether it's anything. They now can immediately say, red flag gun, boom, done. That's where they're taking this red flag gun law, but it's going to be slow. This isn't something they're going to go in and all of a sudden they start red flagging 4 or 5 million Americans one day. They don't have the infrastructure, not to mention people realize what's going on. But if you've noticed, red flag gun seizures are very, very hush-hush. If you actually look up the numbers, how many are done on a yearly basis, there are tens of thousands all across the different states, depending on what states they are. This is happening all the time. Yet you never hear about it. You never hear the news. You never hear it talked about because they don't want anybody to know about it. It automatically gets blacklisted in the media. And for example, it's funny, like you were just saying, well, it's not funny, but like Uvalde shooting, the Buffalo shooting, both of these kids allegedly went and bought their firearms legally and did a background check. They never got flagged. They never had a complaint against them. One of them shoots his grandmother allegedly and then goes on a shooting spree at the school. And the idiot cops let him sit in there for an hour and a half.
But by the way, despite the FBI being dispatched previously and him being on some sort of a watch list, yet, I mean, so talk about not being flagged. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So if you already have red flag gun laws, you're already monitoring this kid. Allegedly, he was already a threat. Yet he went and bought two AR-15s with, I don't know where he came up with the $4,000 or $5,000 for the body armor and the ammo and the mags, and the annual defense and the EOTech, and the list goes on. Yet, totally cool. Didn't do anything about it. There's already laws on the books if you find somebody to be a credible threat. That's the problem. This isn't supposed to go after mass shooters. This is designed to go after law-abiding citizens and circumvent the Second Amendment. If you saw, there was an attempted mass shooting, and I think it was Logansville, Texas, earlier this week at a summer camp. And this guy went into this summer camp, pulled out a firearm, started shooting at the kids. He didn't hit any of the kids. They were able to get in a classroom and armor the door, basically, and lock it up. He barricaded himself in another part. Law enforcement was there in 2 minutes. There were already sheriff's departments that were basically in the area. They dispatched. They didn't wait for SWAT. They didn't wait for clearance. They automatically geared up, rifled up, went in, breached the room, found the guy, and basically shot him. Within minutes. And I was telling Dad about it. I said, it's obviously was, in my opinion, another attempted false flag mass shooting that they wound somebody. You haven't heard anything about it in the news hardly at all. Yet he tried to do it. The kids got away. Law enforcement went in and shot him. Yet nobody's talked about it in the mainstream media. Why? Well, because it didn't go the direction they wanted to. School's out right now. So where would be the next possible place that you could do a shooting to make sure you keep it spooled up? Would be a summer camp or basically after school or basically, you know, daycare. That's why I think this happened, and that's why nobody talked about it, because it didn't go along with the narrative on being able to say, well, if this guy didn't have a gun or if he wouldn't have done this, he could have done it because he didn't shoot anybody. The cops shot him first. And I think it was going to be timed perfectly right when the Senate's looking at this stuff right now to try to pass him. You're 100% right. All these bills that the Congress came together with was 6 or 8 bills, whatever. I couldn't keep up with half of them. They were so insane. this wasn't something that they spooled up. If anybody's looked, you know, with lawmaking and stuff like that with Congress, you don't just spool up a bill in 20 minutes and get, oh, I'm typed up, it's done now, boop. These things are written out. They're proofread. They have attorneys read them. They go back again and get proofread. They get adjusted. They go back in and change them. Then they submit them. This stuff wasn't thrown together in 5 or 6 days like they're claiming in order to stop these shootings. They've had these things because they know exactly what they need to do to disarm the populace. And at the same time, you have them doing these insanely moronic false flags where they can't allegedly figure out where this this new group, if you guys have, I talked about it the other day, that basically the radical abortion group, Jane's Revenge, who's already firebombed 23 different facilities across the country. I mean, firebomb, Molotov cocktail, firebomb birthing centers across the country. They put out a manifesto this week basically stating how they're going to continue to firebomb buildings now until everybody starts allowing abortions, that they will not go along with it. Yet FBI just can't seem to find them, doesn't know where anybody's at, can't seem to figure out how all these arsons are happening on a regular basis, but yet you got a group of allegedly 31 racist, homophobic bigots that are caught in the back of a U-Haul truck with a smoke grenade and a shield, and they all happen to get arrested for, you know, conspiracy to riot while they have them out in the grass, zip-tied, and all of them are wearing face masks. They will not pull their mask down. There are no photos of them being arrested, no photos of them in their face mask being pulled down. Even while law enforcement is standard procedure, they're going to pull your mask off so they can identify you and try to figure out who you are. Yet suddenly they just had an anonymous tip of a U-Haul truck to pull over. Oh, and lo and behold, there's 31 racists in there ready to riot at a gay pride event. But we can't seem to find the 23 different groups that have happened across the country firebombing birthing centers. It's so funny to me, Doug, how so many people actually believe the fact that the majority of this stuff is not completely and totally orchestrated by the very alphabet agencies that tell us they need to take our rights away in order to protect us, while they can't even protect anything that's going on, because in most cases, I think, they allow it, or they watch it happen, or they intentionally encourage it.
Well, you know, look how quickly that the people you mentioned, 31, by the way, one was carrying an FBI bullhorn. Gee, what a surprise there.
Yeah.
Okay. But look at how quickly that was shut down. And you've got this Jane's Revenge stating, and I quote, announcing that's open season on pro-life pregnancy centers and future measures, and I quote, may not come in the form of something so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And so where's Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice on this? Yeah. Obviously, where's Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice on the threats to the House member who conducted a tour the day before the J6, before January 6th, and highlighted by the J6 show trial? Okay, this, obviously, we don't have justice. So, you are 100% accurate. So if you think for 1 second that the Justice Department is, that we have a Department of Justice, or it's going to work for you, you're sadly mistaken, which is why I bookended this week with Conservative House of Sundance's article from, I believe it was from last weekend, or when, I don't know, it was earlier in the week, or if not last weekend. But the time for talking is over. The time for negotiating is over. We have nobody to negotiate with. We have nothing on our side. Those are my words, not Austin's. But the professional political left, the globalists, must be destroyed, and they must be destroyed now. And take it for however you want to take that. Go ahead and take that. It's not a threat. It's just a statement of fact, because we have nothing we have nothing to discuss. If they're done discussing things, so are we. We have nothing to discuss. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, go there. I really am a firm believer in these products. My own blood levels of different things have vastly improved. My health has vastly improved by using Health Masters. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Link in the program description box, as well as on HagmanReport.com. Anyway, just look at your screen. And yeah, it's right there. Go ahead and click that. Stay on Health Masters, and go down and shop as you, I should say. You can listen to Ted and Austin Brower show after our show, of course, or before, whatever. But listen to both. That's healthmasters.com, and there it is on your screen. All right, Austin, keep going, my friend. You're rocking on. And I'm glad you mentioned that Jane's Revenge, because, man, you know, people don't what's wrong with people? You're looking at a terrorist organization. The Department of Justice is doing nothing about this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's blatant terrorism. I mean, they are literally using terror, fear, and violence as a weapon to further their agenda. That is the definition of terrorism. This is a terroristic group. And this isn't, oh, we're going to throw a couple matches through a window. This is firebombing. A lot of people don't understand this with these buildings that they're burning down in here. They are intentionally prepping and building basically fire concussions through either Molotov cocktails and other fuel-related ideas that you can build. I'm not going to give anybody any ideas on that stuff. You can look it up yourself. They're building fire grenades, essentially, and fire bombs. And they're going in and they're making sure these things are strategically done to burn down the facility at its softest points. This is straight terrorism. Like you said, this isn't going on the wall and tagging it with some graffiti saying, you know, we want abortions. All right, that's illegal, but it's a graffiti. Go take some, you know, alcohol to it and scrub it off or repaint it. I mean, that's rough, but whatever. We're talking about burning down entire buildings, which in some cases can have people in there still working, yet nobody's going to say anything. We had protesters break a couple windows, walk into the facility. One of the protesters gets shot in the face, unarmed, in January 6th. And yet we are still talking about this asinine individuals that are making it to be this ordeal like, oh my gosh, it was the next 9/11. It was worse than Pearl Harbor. Well, again, remember what I constantly tell everybody. If you say the lie long enough and you make the lie big enough, eventually people everywhere will start to believe it. You keep telling everybody this is the biggest terror event on soil, you know, the last 20 years. It's horrible. It's worse than Pearl Harbor. And you say it over and over and over again, the next generation underneath us, they'll be taught in the schools for decades to come now, the January 6th riot insurrection by the Patriots. Remember, if you've ever seen the movie Hunger Games, and they had that video they play before they do like the reaping and they pick these children to go basically sacrifice. They blatantly say in the video and they talk about, oh, the war and what we lost because of the individuals whose insurrection. And in order to prevent that from ever happening again, we have to have the Hunger Games once a year to pay your penance for what happened back 50 years ago. That's exactly what they're going to do to further this January 6th. And the only way to do that is to constantly keep it in everybody's minds fresh. The fact that a year and a half later, they're still talking about this investigation into it, and we got over 500 Patriots who are still held without pretrial release on some of them with charges like trespassing, and they've been in jail for a year and a half. Yet we can't seem to figure out who Jane Revenge groups are that have all across the country been firebombing birthing centers. What a load of hogwash, Doug. And like you said, with the FBI bullhorn from these 31 guys that are all sitting there in zip ties, they all look like feds, just straight up. Their entire body language looks like feds. And what's crazy about it, again, that was designed, again, to keep the narrative going that the Patriots are going to go out and they're going to go make attacks against the queer tranny groups. They're going to go out and put violence out there. First off, you got to ask yourself the million-dollar question. Let's just use our heads for a second, okay? If these were Patriot groups that were racist and they wanted to go create violence, do you really think it's going to further your agenda to go out there and bring a smoke grenade and a couple riot shields to a gay pride festival where there's going to be tens of thousands of queers running around? There's going to be 30 of you that are going to show up in uniform with patches on, displaying your group that you're with while you walk around with a riot shield. Do you really think it's going to further your agenda? It's going to help the cause? No, nobody's that stupid. They would not do that. They would go do exactly what Antifa does. They would have been in all black. They would have pulled up with multiple vans, 400 or 500 deep. They would have Molotov cocktails. They'd have, you know, basically, you know, fireworks with nails strapped to them. And they would have gone out and they would wreak havoc on it like Antifa does. They wouldn't have gone out and been this organized group in uniforms with patches and insignia on them riding around in a U-Haul truck with a smoke grenade and a riot shield. The whole thing was so fed staged. It was asinine. But yet again, they want to continue to make it seem now, if anybody doesn't go along with this basically queer fag agenda, and I'm going to say the word because I am sick of it now with them pushing this on everybody. We now have the Attorney General of Michigan, Doug. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. The Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nelson, came out and blatantly said that we need to have drag queens in every single school. This was her quote. She spoke basically at a group talking about in the in Lansing. She was talking about basically to a group of essentially radicalists, so to speak. And she said, and I quote, "Not only are they not hurting our kids, drag queens make everything better. Drag queens are fun. Drag queens are entertainment." And you know what else I'll say to that? It's totally not tested, but I will say a drag queen for every school. That is what would be fun for kids and lift them up when they're having emotional issues. Wait, what? My children are having emotional issues. So your best thing to do is put in a pedophile cross-dressing tranny and be in school with little children? That is your million-dollar idea to help out kids when they're having emotional issues. Not to mention, you can literally have a laundry list. And I talked about on a show yesterday about how many of these guys are sexual basically perverts. They're basically charged with sexual crimes. Most of them, a lot of times, have been caught with basically molesting little boys. They've been caught with child porn. They're sex offenders. They're registered sex offenders dressing up as women in drag, reading to schools and, you know, basically libraries. And this is what the Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nelson, said is the best thing we can do for our community right now is put drag queens in schools. If nobody has basically picked up the notion here, it's full on war right now against young children. They're not trying to hide their agenda. That's why I have been on the offensive now. There's no more holding the line with this, Doug, and going in and saying, well, we're just going to kind of stay strong with it. We're just going to, you know, be peaceful and be quiet. There is no option with that anymore. These guys on the left, they aren't going on the defense right now. They are 100% full offense with bayonets fixed. They are going after the children. They're telling us they're going after the children. And then as they tell us they're going after the children, they say, "We're not going after your children. You're crazy." This is literally what they're doing right now. And for some odd reason, too many Americans, especially pastors, have gotten too, I don't want to say anything out of line here, but they've become too soft and that they don't want to say any of this stuff from the pulpit because they don't want to offend somebody. Again, if you got somebody coming to church, you're trying to bring somebody to Christ and they have a problem with this deviant behavior, by all means, love them, bring them in, witness them, talk to them about Jesus. I'm 100% about that. But there's a whole other line that changes when you start having grown men that are blatantly targeting your young children to try to groom them, to open them up into pedophilia behavior. There's no longer, "I'm going to stand there and give you a hug." It's, "I'm going to knock your ass out. If I see you come anywhere near my families, I'm going to take it as a direct threat, period. I'm not going to go along with this agenda. I never will." But there has to be a point in time, Doug, where we start addressing and call a weed and stop saying, "Well, we just need to be inclusive and we need to accept it and we need to bring it in." If nobody has got the memo, these guys aren't going to stop. They're going to get further and further and further into this deviant, perverted behavior until people start pushing back. Because right now, there's been way too much acceptance of this. I am glad to see, like, Disney shares have been falling through the floor. A lot of people now are no longer going along with Disney. I encourage people, do not, under any circumstance, support this new Buzz Lightyear film. This directly targeting basically these young kids. I watched part of the clips on it to kind of see what was going on. And, of course, they got all this absolutely ridiculous agenda throughout multiple clips that I've seen on it. Don't take your kids to go see this crap. They're not going to understand this. They're not going to know why this is going on. They're just going to say, "Oh, that's cool. That's normal. That's the new thing right now." You have to protect your kids at all costs right now. Even Jesus said that these perverts would be better off tying a millstone around their neck and going to the deepest part of the ocean before they hurt these young kids. That is how God felt about this when people were doing this to these kids even back then. It wasn't normalized. We weren't saying it was okay. We weren't going along with it and say, well, we just need to be inclusive and be acceptance of them. If they want to go do perversion with grown consenting adults in their house, that's their choice. I don't have to be involved in it, nor do I have to see it. But when you're bringing the kids into it, Doug, it changes everything. And it is time that American patriots start being boisterous about it. I'm not telling people to go out and be violent. Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is you sure as heck don't have to accept it. And you sure as heck don't have to go along with it. Just like those five guys on the baseball team of the Tampa Bay Rays said, no, I'm not wearing this patch. If you want to be homosexual, that's your choice. Blatantly said that. If you want to do it, it's your choice. But I'm a Christian. I don't believe that that is okay. So I'm not going to openly endorse that behavior and run around with a patch. And we talked about on the last show, they got eviscerated. They had people calling them homophobic bigots and everything else. And it was like, but don't I have a choice? You have a choice to go to jail in that lifestyle. I have a choice not to go in that lifestyle. It has to be a balance, and it is no longer a balance. It's either you accept it, you love it, you embrace it, or you're a homophobic bigot. I don't care what people call me. I'll stand by my beliefs and my convictions to the day I die. And it's about time people start realizing the children are the direct target right now, Doug. No questions about it.
No, I agree with you. And Breitbart had an article yesterday about this. And I'm sorry. Hang on just one second here. The essence of the article is the fact that if we allow the basis was we allowed the Obergefell decision, same-sex marriage, to go through, and we advised that this was going to be a slippery slope. Now we're seeing this. If we allow, and I'll say this definitively, if we allow drag queens in every school, then there it is there, we will be called bigots for speaking out against pedophilia in the future. I guarantee it.
100%. It's not stopping here, Doug. It's not slowing down. That's the concept that is eluding so many people, including pastors. They're saying, well, if we just need to be accepting of them and love them. Well, we did that for many years. Like you said, with the gay marriage. Okay, you know what? We'll invite them to church and we'll leave it at that. It's not stopping, because when you go into full perversion, there's no limits to perversion. It goes all the way to all these orgies and bestiality. It talks about it in the Bible. That's why he kept saying, when Paul was talking to the Romans, you got to stop having all these orgies all the time, guys. You got to stop doing all this weird, perverted stuff. It wasn't because it wasn't going on very often. It's because it was happening all the time. And that's exactly, they had kids and all kinds of stuff back then. The Greeks were horrible about that with pedophilia back then. And again, this is one of those things. They're going to keep pushing the line back further and further and further. And you're 100% right. They've already made little comments here and there. There was a professor at some university, I don't have the article in front of me, but he did some big op the other day. I read it last week, talking about how we need to essentially normalize pedophilia because it's not wrong for adults to be attracted to children. What?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be normal? What? No, that's what they're going for now. Little bitty steps, little baby steps. They're going to try to normalize this to exactly what you said. They're going to say, oh my gosh, you're a pedophile bigot. You don't like him because he wants to have sex with your child. How dare you? How dare you don't let him do that? He identifies as an 8-year-old girl. How dare you tell him that? That's exactly where it's going to go if we keep letting this go. And it's funny because I told people that recently. They're like, no, Austin, that they won't go to that. That's where I draw the line. I said, didn't we draw the line a couple years back when we said grown men don't need to be going to the bathroom with our little girls at Target? Well, that was different, though, and, you know, it's different. Where's the line keep drawing? Now we see people basically getting charged and arrested for hate crimes if they don't call a grown man by his preferred pronouns. Pronouns?
Yeah.
Pronouns? What are we in elementary school? We're discussing our pronouns with people, and you see it now. People say, I want to be discussing zir, zim, zee, zippity-doo-dah. I'm like, and if you don't call them that, you go to jail for a hate crime? Dude, if you look like a chick, I'm going to call you a girl. Say yes, ma'am, to you. If you look like a dude, I'm going to call you a dude. You come in, you're 6 foot two, and you got an Adam's apple, and you got a wig and a dress on, I'm be like, bro, you kind of need to chill it on the trannies. It's a bit weird. Everybody finds it uncomfortable, bro. Do that somewhere else.
It's a dude.
You're a dude.
It's a dude. Oh, famous movie lines. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Folks, please, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor. Get rid of any other supplements you may have on your shelf. I'm telling you right now, you're going to feel an immediate difference, if not within 30 days. Take my word for it. Healthmasters.com. That's HealthMasters. Well, don't take my word for it. Take your own feelings for it. Healthmasters.com. And make sure Ultimate Multiple Vitamin and powder and children's and capsules, whatever, vitamin C, all the nutritional supplements at healthmeasures.com, plus food buckets, there they are, and the immune system support kit. You've got to have that. You just have to, because, you know, the uglies are out there, right? So now I'm not talking about drag queens. Well, yeah, I am, but different kind of ugly. By the way, Eric the Tech, do we still have that picture from, I think it was from yesterday? Let me see. This, you know, what you were talking about, people might think that we're overreacting. This would have been, let's see here. Okay. I'm just trying to see here. Yeah, that one. This is Christina Aguilera. This is for kids, and so we're not overreacting here. Look at that picture. Did you see that, Austin? Have you seen that before?
I tried to forget about it. Now I can't again.
Oh my eyes. But see, folks, this is where we're at. This is a show for kids celebrating Pride Month. Are you kidding me? Okay, there you go.
There's another photo from that same event with a grown man in full drag on the ground with his legs spread up in the air. And with kids sitting around him while he laid on his back and spread his legs wide open. And I'm like, and there's literally little kids in the photo. You see him like sitting there and they're all kind of like, what is this? Like what? And what people fail to realize when you start sexualizing these kids at a young age, you start twisting the perception of everything and you start going in and it breaks their psyche, so to speak, not to mention it massively confuses them. And so, no, it's not okay. I'm not overreacting. I am going to protect my kids with everything I have. And if somebody doesn't like it, well, guess what? Get over it.
Well, what about the parents there? See, this is what I don't understand. Look, if it had been 20 to 30 years ago, my daughter there, you know, I would have kicked the crap out of whoever.
Oh, 100% that would have happened. It probably wouldn't have made it on the news. Everybody be like, oh, yeah, this basically queer tranny guy got his butt kicked by a bunch of grown adults because he spread his legs in front of their kids. It wouldn't even have been anything abnormal. It would have been like, no, that's the natural response when you have a pedophile basically trying to expose himself to your child. It wouldn't have been strange. It'd been like, okay, yeah, that's what's going on right now.
But we should be doing that now. I mean, look, I'm not advocating violence, but to me, that is an assault on a child. And if I see that, look, if I see that happening, I'll put it this way. If I see that happening that you describe to a children, especially in my, well, it doesn't matter, any children, I am going after that person. I'm going after that person. I guarantee you. And charge me with a hate crime. Charge me, you know, hey, Merrick Garland, come after me. I don't care. I dare you. But I guarantee you one thing, I'm going to get my, that person is going to be in a world of hurt. All right. So that's just me.
Well, I mean, there's already public decency laws on the books. And for some odd reason, this whole tranny movement, it like circumvents everything, you know, childhood endangerment, public indecency, you know, as far as especially things that are age appropriate. Like I said before last time, there's a reason why these establishments, you have to be 18 to get in. You have to be an adult. But yet you see these children in Texas in these establishments throwing money at pedophile guys in tranny gear with big signs on the wall that are saying all kinds of nasty stuff. And it's totally cool. There's 8-year-olds in a male perverted strip club. Yeah. Totally cool. Don't worry about it, guys. We're just going to ignore that and pretend like it didn't happen. No, it's definitely happened. And so again, I encourage people, stay strong on this. Don't feel like you're the only one that's, you know, basically irritated about it. And don't by any means capitulate any further with this. I can encourage people to do that. I've gotten numerous confrontations in the past already on this topic out in public because I don't care. I'll say something about it. I don't care if people are offended or not. Because here's the thing that I always, I have a hard time grasping, Doug, okay? So if I offend them because I don't agree with them, I suddenly am a hate crime or I'm bigoted. But when they do something to me or go out in public and it offends me, well, my feelings don't matter at that point anymore. I just have to be accepting of it because my feelings don't exist. Only his or her feelings exist. So which one is it, though? Like I always say, is it rules for thee and not for me? So if I get offended by what they're doing, I can't say anything at all. But if I say something that offends them, well, they're a protected species now. You're not allowed to say anything about them. They're like endangered species. You can't even touch them. Don't go near them. Don't speak to them. Don't harass them. Okay, no, it doesn't work that way, guys. It's all across the board. That's part of being in a republic. It's part of the First Amendment. If you offend somebody, so what? Get over it. It's part of free speech. And so and there's another thing that I was going to ask you about this, Doug, because I've been trying to do some more research. I know we've been having this crazy heat wave across the country, but I saw a video yesterday, and it was quite disturbing. And I was wondering if you thought possibly it could have been some type of active denial system or directed energy weapons. In Kansas, they're now reporting up to almost 10,000 cattle died from this heat wave out there. I've been looking at videos, a video of it. I mean, I'm talking literally, it is thousands upon thousands of cows that all died all at once, allegedly from the heat. I know cows can definitely be very sensitive to that while they're standing out in the sun all day. So they have to have accurate water, adequate water and cool down, shade and stuff. But it's very strange to me was in Kansas. And if you saw the video of it, I mean, they said something, yeah, 10,000. They right here, they said it was just 3,000. Then there were like three or four other farms in the area. And everybody's saying, well, I think it was a heat wave. But yet, you know, the active denial systems they have and the space-based weapon systems, they say that they can basically cook you from the inside out. If you do the research from the federal government and the military, they do active denial systems and they test them out. Or were these cows poisoned? I don't know. But I find it very strange now in the midst of everything that's going on and the shortages that are going on right now. All this, yeah, they're just loading them up. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
It's all over. There's another video that's now surfacing the same thing and trying to figure out what in the world's going on with these things. And it's interesting to me, in the midst of all these different manufacturing plant fires, suddenly, all across the country, these plants just catch on fire at 10 o'clock at night that are processing food. We've seen millions of animals and chickens and stuff that have basically been slaughtered because they get, you know, one chicken gets H1N1 or you know, chicken flu, bird flu. And now all this is going on over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And now we're seeing the price of food go exponential, not just from diesel food cost and everything else, but because of all the things that have been happening. And it's interesting. And now I've had the hardest time in my business career trying to get food buckets. I've never had a problem getting buckets, especially meat buckets. I can get them anytime, anywhere, never had an issue, you know, maybe a couple week delay. And sometimes when there's, you know, a panic buy, if people think like right after COVID when people are buying toilet paper, but there's no significant issues currently right now with transportation. Yet every time I get a hold of him, he says, I mean, I talked to him the other day. He's like, the organic food buckets are now on a 5-week backlog again on an order I already had pending after last month. This is going to be another 5 weeks. We're still trying to source the raw organic ingredients. We're basically, he said, we're running out of suppliers to get raw ingredients from. And I'm like, Nick, have you ever seen raw ingredients? You can't get them for this. And he's like, dude, never. He said, we've always got multiple vendors that we can get stuff from. And he's like, there's not an issue. He goes, we're finding like all of our vendors are short this, short that, short this, short that. And I said, well, what about the meat buckets with the beef and the chicken? And he said, well, we have a decent supply because we made so much. He said, but now we're getting told that the next batch we're getting in for the meat is going to be even higher than the last one. And I said, well, dude, I said, you're pricing me out of the market. He said, dude, it's not you. It's everybody. I said, I can't. I said, how am I supposed to afford to put these in inventory? And how are people supposed to be able to afford to buy them? I said, the margin's already slim on this stuff. And I said, but I want it because I want people to stay strong and healthy and have backup food. He goes, dude, just wait till next year and see what's going to start happening. He said, I don't think it's going to get better. And I said, well, that's what I keep hearing, sadly enough. And I said, so I think this is kind of that beginning phase, Doug, where people start looking at stuff and going, okay, you start to see the writing on the wall. You start to see the clouds in the sky. You're starting to see the storm come. I don't even think we're in the middle of the storm yet, from what I'm starting to get reports on now from the harvesters, from the farmers, from these guys that are processing buckets. I think we're literally just warming up with a mild shower right now. I think there's something really big on the horizon, and all this stuff is culminating, because it would literally only take a few very large key triggers to hit that would absolutely make everything go haywire now, on especially this little precipice that we're on of simply not even being able to get much of anything. So I encourage people, figure out where you need, what you need for your family, whether or not it's defensive measures, whether or not it's backup stored water, water distiller, water filters, whether it's organic food buckets from us or cans from the store. I really encourage people right now to make sure you're keeping your body healthy, your body strong, your immune system strong. Even if you're just running like the ultimate multiple, the vitamin C with antioxidants and the D3, those three right there are such a base stack, and you can make them last for a while. Even if you're not taking full dosages every day, if you're trying to keep it in a budget, make sure you're staying strong and exercising, or at least walking every day, keeping your immune system, your cardiovascular strong, because there may be a time, as I've said this before, that a bunch of us are going to be called on to defend our city, our town, our neighborhood, our family, our country. I don't know. I'm just speculating right now. But you can feel something in the air, Doug, that's getting very, very strange as stuff is starting to build up while they're telling us nothing is going wrong. Everything's great. Don't be upset. Americans have the highest savings they've ever had. Americans are doing the best with the least amount of, like, Bumbling Buffoon said that the other day. And I'm literally listening to Bumbling Buffoon, and he's like, Americans have the highest savings ever, and Americans are basically doing better with the least amount of debt they've ever had. And I'm like, what planet are you on, Mr. Adderall? I mean, are you just delusional? Are you having hallucinations now? Like, what world are you living in? Because nobody else in the rest of the country is. Well, again, it goes back, though, and it makes sense when you realize this is what hardcore propaganda with Cloud and Piven behind it does. They create problem, action, solution. At the same time, they blame it on something else while they say they did nothing. Well, here's the solution, because nothing's going wrong. This is what's happening right now. Don't look at it. Don't worry about it. Everything's hunky-dory while they're literally shoving a stick in your chest saying, I'm not poking you with a stick. I'm not poking with you a stick. Stop getting mad. I'm not poking you. And it's insulting, to be honest with you, the people that are awake. But again, when you start having the federal government telling you everything's great, don't be alarmed, while fuel's at $6 a gallon and food's at an all-time high, and basically supplies are getting short very, very quickly, it's time to start understanding and realizing that things are starting to go sideways very, very quickly, Doug.
Yep, you got that right. And it's amazing how you almost are in line with our program clock as we wind down for the last 2 minutes of the show. I would urge everyone.
Watch on.
Good job, though. So healthmasters.com is the place to go. Austin Brower, of course, head to Austin Brower Show 5 days a week, and also Sunday. You go to healthmasters.com, and on the right-hand side, you can listen to the show as you shop for product. And I would urge everyone to do that now. Again, the headlines almost seem insignificant. Not insignificant. It's almost you become numb to the headlines. If you're not looking at the bigger picture, Austin, you're not seeing, I think, what we're seeing. And if you're not seeing what we're seeing, then you're going to be ill-prepared for what is coming. And really, that's it. And I think too many lines have been crossed. We draw too many lines and then move the lines backwards. I think, or say, no, that's not the hill to die on. This is the hill to die on. And we never die on any hill. Of course, the position is, make the enemy die on the hill that they want, or that they should die on. So anyway,
yep.
All right. With that, Austin, I want to say thank you so much for a great show, great program. Anything you got anything in 30 seconds to a minute you want to impart?
I've got more supplies coming in. If anybody wants to, if they want to order any food buckets or meat buckets, the HR5, I'll open that access code that they can use those on them. We also have the 2-pack special that's already on sale, so the coupon doesn't work on that. But yeah, you're exactly right. I think it reached a point in time now where people got so used to compromising their beliefs, their values, and basically complying and being told what to do during COVID that people have kind of lost that resolve now, where people just, okay, well, I'll just deal with it. Because everybody got so used to trying to just deal with negativity all the time, and the normalcy bias kicked in. I think it's reached a point in time now where the normalcy bias has to disappear. We've got to be done with it now. We've got to understand that this isn't a game to the people that are doing it. They're very serious about this. They're very clear about it in the World Economic Forum. This is their overall goal, is to starve everybody out and force compliance. So we have to realize that means we have to take it seriously too and plan accordingly for anything that we may or may not need to deal with in the future, though.
Very well said. And with that, I bid you farewell for the weekend. Thanks, my brother. All right. Folks, that'll do it for me, for us, till Monday. May God bless. Hey, watch HagmanReport.com. I'm going to try to make some changes this weekend. All right. Have a great night. Good night.